Okay, we are on. I'm sorry we're laughing loud, but some people make me laugh here. And the name of this portion is called Beshalach. And I know there is a lot of chach in the portion. Beshalach means in Hebrew, as he was sending them. It's kind of a weird concept. Ze vayi beshalach paro et ha'am. Pharaoh sent the slave or the people out of Egypt. So, of course, the question we need to answer tonight, is it God taking you out of Egypt or Pharaoh letting you go? It's a big question. You got to ask this question. Otherwise, it's really not clear. And the story goes like that. They're leaving Egypt. They're getting into a place they call the Red Sea. The Red Sea, those of you who've been there, it's not red, it's blue. Sorry for the disappointment. It's totally blue. The reason they call it the Red Sea is because it used to be reeds. Reeds is like bamboo, so it's called the Sea of Reeds. If you look at the original, you know, Bible, Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea, that's where it comes from. Some other people believe it was the reflection of the mountain on it's like in the desert. So the reflection of the mountain in a certain time of the day is make the sea look reddish, brownish, so maybe that. But bottom line, it's the Red Sea. It's where the city of Elat, if you know where it is, and on the other side is Egypt, Taipei, okay, that's the area. And they're crossing the Red Sea with the magic power of Moses using the staff, so that's how the story goes. The Egyptians try to get them. They also drive into the sea. The sea closes on them. They all die. The Israelites are kind of happy being survived. They're getting out of the sea, they're singing song, they're celebrating. And as they're getting to the other side, of course, they do what normally people do when they go into a Jewish restaurant. What do you do when you go to a Jewish restaurant? You complain twice, as Woody Allen said. You complain once for the food is bad, and then you complain that the portions are small, right? That's how you complain twice as a good Jew. You can't complain just one. You can't complain if you already complain. So, they complain and complain and complain, and then the manna come, and then Amalek come. It's a nation called Amalek show up. Amalek in numerically value in Hebrew is mean doubts, meaning the doubt starts sneaking into the heart, to the soul. And that's the story of the parasha. I just gave you a little bit of the story. But we need to address, of course, the sod, the secret meaning of the parasha. For that reason, you see on my shelf, on the table, there is actually two books tonight. One is the Zohar and one is the Ari. As Debbie strongly suggests that I will not give the normal lecture that I gave in the last 30 years, she told me it's time for me to change. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? I said, give other things. You gave 1,000 times. Give something new concept for the people. I said, but if I give a new concept, I don't know who's going to come back. She said, well, try it. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try that Ari, what Rabbi Isaac Luria has to say about it, together with the Zohar, and we see how you guys react to it. I promise to deliver it in the best way I can, so that everybody can understand it, use it, and also not going to be afraid. You need to promise me that you'll be absolutely focused tonight, and if you're not focused and you're tired, please listen to it tomorrow again on the audio. So let's go going, and first, hello to everybody. Thank you very much for coming. I know it's here raining in New York, and I mean New York, in LA. So I know it's not so easy. So before I start, I would like to explain what's the importance of basically of coming here and being together. That's the Zohar talk about the gathering, the being together. And I would like to start with that. It's a section which is personally very, very important for me. So, Michelle, why don't we read it, and then we can talk about it, okay? It's a very easy section.
And she answered, I dwell among my people. He asked, what does she mean? And he responds, at the time when judgment prevails over the world, a person should not separate himself from the general community and be apart. Then he will not be singled out above, and he will not be noticed on his own. For at the time when judgment prevails over the world, those who are distinctly known and recorded apart are caught first, even though they may be righteous. Therefore, a person should never separate to be apart from the people, for the mercies of the Holy One, blessed be He, are always present over their whole people together. Therefore, she said, I dwell among my people, and I do not want to be separate from them, as I have done until this day.
This is a section from the famous prophet named Elisha. Okay, the successor of Eliyahu Navi, the successor of Elisha the prophet. And this is discussion with a woman who wants to have children and she couldn't have kids and she came for a blessing. Now, the idea is she say, Betoch Ami Anochi Yoshavet, and people took that verse, I am sitting among my people. And the Kabbalists explained that the important about being part of the group. We all need privacy, we all need time to be alone, to study, to teach. But being part of a tribe or being part of a community is important things to have in spiritual journey. And we're going to talk about our spiritual journey because Beshalach is not just talking about getting out of Egypt. Beshalach is talking about getting out of your problem, your negativity. And we need to study how to go about it. The first aspect of fixing your life is find out, are you part of something? Now, being part of something, it's not enough just for the fun of it. There is many group. If you do mitzvah group, you're going to find 1,000 group on that. You know, whatever you want to do today, you can do. But it's going to be something like what we're doing here right now. It's a spiritual group that we meet together, we study, and the purpose, eventually, just to let you know that each and every one of you will be teaching one day, okay? Teaching some type of spirituality, and anybody in this room or anywhere in the world will need the help. And thank God, 2018 was a very good year. We helped many people to open their own place and teach. So we want to help you to teach. Come here, sit on my seat here and teach. That's the goal. That's how you know you got it. And what's the purpose for that? Because we want to create a community that eventually the idea is to guide more people in the world to have a better life. So community is the beginning, the everything that a person want to have when he's going on a spiritual journey. That's why I want to start with that before even I'm taking you on the journey of Beshalach. So you want to be part of Beshalach. You want to get out of your personal Egypt. You want to leave your Pharaoh behind. You want to leave your misery. Don't be alone. There is no alone. There is not just cafe with somebody you love. That's not enough. There is not just hanging with the guys and having a beer. It's not enough. It's got to be some sense of community that the person needs to have. If a person not have any awareness of what's going on around them, that's because there is nobody next to them to tell them, hey, what are you doing? That kind of community is very important. People who love you and people that you love, but they can tell you, hey, what are you doing? You're in Egypt. You're going down here. And they can grab you out. As the Talmud said, En Adam Motzit Atzmo Mitbet Asurim. There is no human who can get himself out of prison. You need another person to grab you out of prison. But if you're staying in prison and the community don't tell you anything, it's a bad community. That's not a good community. So it's not about the coffee or the wine or tasting the cheese, which is a good group. Or scotch tasting. You know, it's a good group. But the group has to be more a spiritual group that we care about one another. When we see our brother or sister is not doing well, I said, what can I do for you? I want to talk to you about it. But we're not going to talk to them just about how was the coffee, if it was decaf or milk was foam or the beer was from Germany. We're going to talk about my brother, my sister, how are you doing spiritually? How is your connection to the divine? How is your connection to God doing today? Are you feeling it or are you talking about it? Are you teaching about it or are you connect? That's what it means with that section. And that's why I want to open with that section in the Zohar, because getting out of Egypt is not easy. We all somehow in Egypt in some area of our life. Some of us have weird addiction. Some of us have weird type of thing that we do. We cannot even shake it off. You know, when you're 20, you say, when I'm 30, I shake it off. When you're 30, you say, when I'm 40, I shake it off. When you're 40, you say, when I'm 50, I shake it off. And when you're 60, you say, I didn't shake it off. What's happening with me? And, you know, so community is a very important thing. So let's continue to another section of the Zohar, and then we go deep into the parasha. Okay? So, who released the Israelites? Right? Who let them go? Pharaoh or God? Now, if you look at the parasha, if you look at the Torah, Pharaoh. Vayi beshalach paro. And Pharaoh let them go. That's a weird thing. Where was God? It's supposed to be God. Ah, you're going to come up with an idea. Well, Eliyahu, too many plagues, too many problems. Pharaoh had enough. Time to go. So it should say, Vayi ba'akot Hashem et paro v'yishalach et ha'am. It should be written, as God was hitting bad Pharaoh, Pharaoh decided to let go of the Israelites. No, 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 no. Didn't say that. And it should bother you. It should bother you because there is something which is hidden there. Well, what do you think before I'm showing you the answer? What do you think? Let me throw that back to you. What's going on? There's no mistake.
I think God is behind everything.
Huh?
So I think God is behind everything.
What do you mean?
That it may have looked like it was Pharaoh, but he didn't harden his heart this time. And
very nice. Very nice. I like that. I like that. Yes?
Even if Pharaoh let them go, they weren't able to get away without God. They weren't able
eventually, to yes. Eventually, like the next part. Next part, yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah, yeah.
Well, God put the desire in their head to go, and when they had the desire, Pharaoh let them go.
I love that. I love that. You know, I love that. You guys have all the answers. I don't know what I'm going to show you next. I mean, let me try. Let me see what Rabbi Shimon said. Let me show you what the Zohar had to say about it. It's very interesting, but I love your answer. Your belief in the Creator is beyond, because the way that you put it so obvious, Leo, it's God. What's going on? Yeah, I love it. Please remember it when you're not doing so well, okay? Please remember. If you got two flat tires, God put it in the tire's head together. Yeah. Don't forget. All right? When the banker don't want to give you the money you want, God tell the banker not to do it. No big deal. Because we are not here to study spirituality. We are here to practice spirituality. That's the name of the game. So when you get out of here, that's the time that... So your girlfriend left you, your boyfriend left you. That's what God told him to do. Yeah. Okay, so don't forget. Let's see what the Zohar have to say. Okay, Michelle, here we go.
And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, it is written before, and Pharaoh rose in the night, and he and all his servants. Come and behold, recognize the supernal revenge that the Holy One, blessed be he, performed against Egypt. There were three deaths, one that related to the firstborn in Egypt, as they killed whoever was in their way, one that the Holy One, blessed be he, killed at midnight, and one when Pharaoh saw the death in his house amongst his children and servants. He arose and emboldened himself and killed the ministers, the rulers, and all those who advised him to refuse to send out the people, until the Torah bore witness against him.
So before even we continue, it's so fascinating for me. When I read it, I was dancing basically with the book. And it looked crazy how much I was happy, because why was I happy about it? I mean, the part that made me laugh, and Pharaoh killed the people who advised him. It's a weird thing. You know, sometimes you make a decision, and you know, how much a king really care for the advisor? The advisor just have to repeat whatever the king want to hear, right? I mean, which advisor ever will dare to share the real opinion? A good advisor is an advisor who just want to tell their leader what they want to hear. I mean, that's a bad advisor, but that's advisor that stay alive. Advisor who share his opinion usually either die or kicked out. You know, those of you who work as an advisor, you need to learn that. You need to learn that if you advise for anybody about any subject, you have to be careful. Are they willing to listen? Because if they're not willing to, if they are kings and queen, you're wasting your time. If they really want to change, that's a different story. I mean, after all, I saw this movie, I forgot the name, with Woody Allen. And Woody Allen movie are weird a little bit. You know, the people stare at the camera and they talk to the camera while the movie is going on. You understand what I'm saying? So they're showing a psychiatrist take care of a person. And the person say, I'm coming for that psychiatrist for 3 years. And he keep asking me questions. Nothing get done. Nothing. Keep saying, so what do you think your mom meant by that? And he spoke to the camera and said, 3 years, he asked me what my mom meant. Nothing. She meant nothing. You know, it's 3 years already. So here, Pharaoh with the advisor. You have to see that movie. You have to see that movie. You know, it's a great movie. So here is Pharaoh. He's all of a sudden, it's not my fault. It's all your fault. Let me kill them all. So Pharaoh somehow finds himself as part of the Creator is part of the divine plan to basically, first I'm going to kill the people. While people are dying in his house, he's actually killing more people. And we continue, Michelle.
He arose actually at night, meaning with the judgments of the Nukva, that is called night. As a night, which is the Nukva, slew the firstborn and took revenge, so did Pharaoh rise in the land of Egypt, slay and take revenge against his rulers, ministers, his appointees, and all types of officers. This is the meaning of, and Pharaoh arose in the night. He arose to kill and destroy.
So basically, Pharaoh joins something called Nukva. Nukva means the female aspect of God. And the female aspect of God has more judgment. And he arose with the judgment, and he become part of the plan of God. He couldn't help himself. He just joined that ride. And he continued, please.
The nature of a dog is that when you hit him with a stone, he goes and bites its neighbor. Pharaoh did likewise. Afterwards, he went out in the marketplaces and announced, "Rise up and get you out from among my people. You killed all the inhabitants of the city. You killed the rulers and ministers and all the members of my household." Hence it is written, and he called Moses and Aaron by night, "Since everything was caused by you, and bless me also by not killing me." Afterwards, he himself accompanied them and took them out of the country. This is what is written, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go.
So let me describe to you a situation. Upper East Side, there is a place, it's a nice cafe, in Upper East Side, Manhattan. They've been me sitting next to us, there is a couple. Give the impression that the lady went to MIT and the husband never finished his high school. Just get the picture. I'm trying to put the picture there. It doesn't mean it's true, but give the impression when you hear them talk. She's talking like that. He's like, try to follow whatever needed. The check arrived and she's screaming at the waiters. "Hey, what do you think I'm fool?" And the waiters being very patient. So, well, you explain this, that's 10%, that's what they are. So, the lady, after she understood she was come across stupid, look at her husband or her boyfriend. Or "I told you, you dumb." That's what she told him. Oh, and I'm looking to our right like this, we're looking. And this is remind me exactly Pharaoh. He was the one who couldn't release the Israelite. He was the one to be blamed. But what is he doing? After everything can go wrong, he's saying, "You know what? It's all your fault. It's all you people. It's all because of you. You should tell me to stop doing it." Many times in our life, in our spiritual journey, we are not taking responsibility. And we are releasing the thing that before that we have a different opinion on that. Because from the beginning with, our mind was so distracted by our ego. Me, and myself. And when a person is like that, not only is bringing his death closer, death of his business, death of his relationship, death of everything, is because the person is so busy. She or he is so busy with himself that there is nothing that they can see about life beside what's wrong outside of me and how can I make myself right. You know, and that's why leaders of today, if you look at leaders of today and you compare them to the leader of 50 years ago, the leader of today wanted to be famous. Everybody wants to have more followers, much more money. "I want to have more money. I want to have more followers." That's what all leader. Leader of yesterday, it was a problem in the world. Still there is problem in the world. They just cover it. But there is so much problem. It was so many issues before. So the leaders signed to be a leader, not because they want a recognition. They really want to save their town. They really want to save their country. The leader of today, when they walk in, not enough people know I exist, not enough money in my pocket, what's going on? We twisted the whole concept of leader. Pharaoh is describing to us, to the tip, with the ego, what is a wrong leader look like? A wrong leader look like, instead of saying to his people who advise him, "Are you okay? Is your children okay? Let's talk about it. Let's see what we're doing." Nothing. The opposite. "Let me kill all of you, and because of you, I lost." And that's an example of the wrong leader. Going back to the first section we talked about. community. In the community, I was once at the beach with a, I don't know if it's priest or minister. I don't know what Mormon has.
Bishop.
Huh?
Bishop.
Oh, bishop, I'm sorry. Bishop. Yeah. Bishop. So I met a Mormon bishop. Serious guy out there. So talking to him, I said, what's the Mormon? I don't know that much. How do you pray? How do you, what do you do? So, well, I am like the rabbi, I'm the bishop. And he happened to be a Jewish guy, a Kohen from Brooklyn, by the way. Okay? It's very funny. So he said, doing the pray, I'm part of everybody. We all pray together. When I give lecture, I'm going on stage and give the lecture. But when it's time to pray, I'm going and become part of the people. So who's on stage? I say, nobody. I look at him and said, I like it. Betoch ami anochi yoshavet. I am part of the people when I pray. There is no special thing. Because when you are in front of the divine, when you are in front of the creator, who can say, I'm that rabbi, I'm this rabbi, I'm that important? No, you're in front of the creator, you're in front of the divine. How dangerous it is, you know, when you start feeling that you are special. Let's say about Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mivitevsk. I don't know if you ever heard that name. One of the greatest Kabbalists from Ukraine. And they say about him that they beg him to become a rabbi. And he ran away. He actually ran away from Ukraine and he found himself in Tiberia, in the Sea of Galilee, if you know where it is. He ran away, he's buried there, by the way. And he ran away from every place that they wanted to make him a rabbi. Then he ran away to a place called Pekin, where this picture in the corner had been taken, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wrote the Tikkuni Zohar. He ran there. Wherever he go, they want him to become a rabbi until he die. So when you ever go into the Sea of Galilee, I always send people there. Say, that's a place to work on your ego. Put your left hand and beg the creator. I think my ego is taking over. Now, unfortunately, ego is a disease. Ego is a disease that we cannot see it coming. Because, you know, today friendship, if you look at the young generation between 10 to 19, friendship is based on how many pictures you have on Instagram, Facebook, and the yellow thing. What do you call the yellow? The
Snapchat.
I'm so sorry. Snapchat is a new thing that I'm still trying to figure it out. I think I figured it out, and I took my own picture by mistake. I had to erase it. I'm working on understanding that. But how many friends I got? Now, if you lose friends, you want to know why you lost them. If you lost this, why? If you do, so being favorable, becoming a goal, having a goal, it's not favorable. Do you understand what I'm saying? Being favorable, being liked by others, is your goal now. But do whatever it's needed, it's no longer the goal. And that changed in our universe, my friend. And for that reason, the Pharaoh story of this week is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous story about our life. I will take now a shift into understanding the spiritual journey, because it's all about the journey this week portion, in a deeper level. Those of you who had a hard day, shake your body, shake your head, because the information that's about to come into your mind is new. It's not easy. It's tough. And it's coming from Rabbi Isaac Luria. I will do everything in my power to make it fun so you can remember it. And first, we're going to read the verses from the Torah, how the Torah starts. So please, just the English, don't need it for the Hebrew, okay?
It came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, for it was near. Because God said, lest the people reconsider when they see war and return to
Simple. What does that mean? Anybody want to tell me? What is it written there? Simple. Just simple.
They'd want to go back to where it was easier. They saw war. They'd want to turn away and go back.
Okay. Is that what it say? Okay. Peni nachem ha'am. Okay. It was a concern that they might get scared. Okay. We're good. Is it good? Yes. Verse. Let's continue. Another two verses, please. I'm just read to you verse by verse of the Torah, of the Bible, and you're going to read it. And then I'm going to show you all different hints of what the Arit said to us. It means spiritually. Go ahead, please.
They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the desert? What is this that you have done to us to take us out of Egypt?
Okay. Simple. Yeah.
Okay. Isn't this the thing about which we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone and we will serve the Egyptians? Because we would rather serve the Egyptians than die in the desert.
Weird. I think it's a weird thing for a slave to say, right? What do you think? You're going in biggest prison in the world. People get tortured, get beat up. And you open the door and you say, hey, come, I take you out. Say, wait a minute. What's the catch? You will ask, what's the catch? You get me out of here, right? So we know here there is a hint. We already know there is a secret here. Okay? And it's funny. All of us soon, in about 99 days, we're going to celebrate Passover. When you celebrate Passover, you know, you're all thinking about, oh, we get out of slavery of Egypt. We need to understand what slavery we are talking about. Go ahead.
Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation that he will reap for you today. For the way you've seen the Egyptians is only today, but you shall no longer continue to see them for eternity. The Lord will fight for you, but you shall remain silent.
Okay. So far, I think, pretty good story. That's the beginning of the story. Now I want to take you into Rabbi Isaac Luria, open your intellectual channel of the brain, the wisdom, memory skills, everything that you can to grasp what I'm about to share with you. Before that, I want to share with you that Rabbi Isaac Luria is talking about that the entire exit from Egypt is nothing more than the soul leaving the body. Rabbi Isaac Luria teaches us that the Torah cannot talk about physical thing. There is no physicality in the Torah. Everything is talking about something spiritual. And the Torah can be understood in four levels. Ena midrash yotze mitoch pshuto, meaning the Torah can be understood also from the simplicity, but you need to make an effort to understand the secret. So that's what the Ari is telling us. I'm going to grab the book, your permission. Very excited about it. And hopefully you will come next week. All right, let's start. So it says like that. I will first read in the language of the Ari because I'm very excited about it. Darush na'eh mi'inyan yitziat Mitzrayim. I would like to share with you something na'eh. Na'eh means beautiful thing. שהוא רמז של יציאת הנשמה מן הגוף. He said, getting out of Egypt is a רמז, a hint of the soul leaving the body. והיא בשלח פרעה, when it's written, when Pharaoh sent them away, הוא שיצא הנשמה מן הגוף, meaning with the soul leaving the body. שהוא פרעה, מלך מצרים, העורף, שהוא קשה העורף, הוא מליך הגוף, שהוא במצרים, וכוחות היצרה. Who is Pharaoh? Pharaoh is that evil side inside of us, who forcing us to do the wrong thing. Forcing us. If you think for a second that you choose to do the wrong thing, you are already wrong. You can't choose to do wrong thing. You've been forced to do wrong thing. And now you understand last week portion. When it's written, I will make Pharaoh's heart heavy, or I will harden his heart that he will not be able to let you go, meaning that you don't even know that when you want to stop doing something negative or any type of addiction, you cannot even say no to it. It just continue. Pharaoh. And he'd say like that. והוא הולך ומסטין ובא ולוקח נשמתו ואחר הולך אחריו להזיקו ולנקה ממנו. Tell us, Rabbi Isaac Luria, how is it work with death? How is that work? And I'm sure most people don't like to talk about death, but if I tell you that this life is a visit in a shop and shopping begins upstairs, you don't have to buy it. You can believe that this is it. That's a man. This is it. There is no audition. I'm here. That's a real deal, real movie. I'm telling you, there's nothing going on here. It's a visit. The taste. It's a, you are smelling the food, but you're not eating the food. After all, I mean, what life? What life? How long is it? 120, 130, take it, make it longer for you? 90, 86? What's life insurance tell today? What is it? 86? Kind of? 86. It's the age. Okay? 60, they start telling you to pack. Pack your stuff, sir. Start packing. Now, take care of your health. How is your cholesterol? Is you good? You good? Check men, prostate, women, check the thing with the machine, right? All of a sudden, there's a lot of checking. Doctors start to know your name. You know, that's a big problem. Hi, Mr. G, and how you doing? Please come in. Oh, you remember me? Of course, yeah, you were in last week. Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, yeah. Need to take care of that, okay? So what happened? We're aging. So as we're aging, it's a preparation. The Ari say even the age. He said the number 60. It wasn't me. He says 60 is the preparation. Preparation to change your apartment, okay? You have to talk to a real estate agent. You know, you got to take care of business. So he said like that. And I'm happy I make you laugh about it. I wasn't laughing when I read it twice. So he'd say, and I said, I have to make it funny, otherwise it will be hard on people. So Pharaoh was chasing them, and he's about to get them next to the Red Sea. Tell us, Dari, after the person died, the same entity that convinced you to do the wrong thing is the same entity that go in front of the court of heaven and say, this guy did bad thing. Now, I want you to do something I did. I did it today. It's very scary. I did it last year. I did it a few years ago. Can you imagine how your evil side look like? Can you picture that? What shape? What face? What eyes? What's the color of their hair? How tall? How short? How fat? How thin? Size of their feet? How they look like? After all, they are the one when the deal is over and you're in front of God and the three angels sitting there, they're going to show up and say, hey, this guy did bad. He doesn't say, I convinced him to do bad. He just say, listen, my message was to make sure they do bad. He did bad. I'm here to snitch. The same energy that caused a person to do bad is the same energy or witness against you. How does it look like? Just take 20 seconds to think about it. How does that look like? Those of you who imagine that part look bad, you didn't get it right. That part right now when you are alive look like your best friend. That's why it's pretty convincing. If you can see what we call Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the negativity, as your best friend, you catch it. You got it. If you see it as evil, as bad, you never got it right. One of the things, it was a movie, I don't remember the name of the movie, with those suspicious people, they're standing in front of, I forgot the name of the movie, Usual Suspect, was the movie like that? And he say the worst thing that the negative thing is doing is make you think he's not that evil. I don't remember the exact word.
Doesn't exist.
Huh?
Not exist.
Yeah, that's the word. Thank you. That these don't even exist. And the idea that evil force is coming to convince us that later on, because this life is just a test. It's just coming and going. And those of us who have to reincarnate, this is just a visit. And next lifetime, you have to come up with another evil guy. We all born with that evil guy. There's nothing you can do about it. That evil guy is your partner. Partner for life. Whatever you do, good, bad, it's all together. You cannot do good without him. You cannot do bad without him. Him or her. They are with you. They are the one who advises you to do the wrong thing. They are the one. They are the one, oh, come on. They are the one, oh, come on. Don't you see everybody's doing it? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? How is the other one sound like? You have also a good one. You're born with two. You're born with two angels. One say good, one bad. The good one doesn't have a loud voice. It's whispering. Huh? The evil side, do it already. The good guy, I'm not sure. The good one has no ego, so he doesn't want to scream at you. It's funny, huh? So he continued. So he said that Pharaoh, the evil, now we know what Pharaoh is. Yes! Now you know what Pharaoh is. Pharaoh is the evil inclination. Where did he find them? He said that he find them in the ocean. He found them in the Red Sea. And when he arrived to the Red Sea, they all get scared. What is the Red Sea? Not interesting. Tzedaka is good. So the Red Sea, said to us the Ari, ויעסק אותם חונים על הים, כלומר, הים, he called it the Yam of Gehenom. You heard about Gehenom? Gehenom in hell. But we had some story about hell that we rather be afraid of it but don't understand it. Those of you who want to read more about it, I highly recommend Debbie can give you more books than me. She knows everything about that subject. But you have to be ready because heavy duty details, and it's not all about fire, okay? The only movie that was closer to that was a movie that I met the writer, again, I don't remember the name, with... That's very good. Yes. So, very, you're good. I need you around the names. So, hell is basically a school, 11 months minimum to college. Every man, woman, and angel has to go through. What? Minimum. Minimum 11 months. 11 months minimum, and there is 7 layers. I mean, hopefully we belong in the easiest one. There is 7 layers. I mean, if you want, one day I can let you read it yourself, but you're not going to be happy because there is 7 chambers. It was the writer from Italy who wrote something similar on that. Somebody help me out.
Astral City.
Who said that? Yes, very similar. No, Dante. That's the one. Yeah, and he wrote something very close to what the Zohar in Mishlei wrote. Very close, the closest. And I was shocked. How can he get it so right? So hell, my dear friend, is a school. It's a school that person has to go through to learn about something. But what is that we need to learn? It said that Pharaoh found them in that Red Sea. Red Sea, what is the color of fire usually? Red. So the Red Sea is a river called River of Dinor. Dinor, you heard about Dinor? Dinor, my dear friend, is a river that every angel who comes to visit you here to help you on the way up to heaven has to go through this river. What is in this river? It's just a river of fire, no big deal. Now, why river of fire? Why? Why river of fire? When you're going through pain, what do you want? I mean, today there is pain therapy. There is painkiller pills. There is all kind of about the pain. There is treatment of the disease, and there is treatment of the pain. There is 2 treatments. I don't know if you're aware. When you take care of your body, you take care of the disease, and you take care of the pain. There's 2 treatments, basically. When the doctor sees you, I'm sorry to insult any doctor or lie. You know, they only see you to know if it's the pain bother you or the disease bother you. And based on that, that's the pills you're going to get. I hope you knew it by now, right? You're old enough to know it. Okay? They will ask you, well, you have that. Do you have pain? He asks you. Oh, pain? And then he will write something. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what they're going to ask. You have pain? Why is that? Because a human nature, we are not want to cure the disease. We want to cure the pain that attached to it. We want to cure their pain. When you have pain in your relationship, emotional pain, you have physical pain, you have any type of pain, most of the time we are not trying to fix the problem. We are trying to fix the pain that attached to that problem. So how can I get rid of that pain? That's my goal. That's the goal I have in my life. But the pain itself could be, just listen carefully, could be the solution for your problem. The pain itself, that's the solution. I would like to tell you how I will remove your problem. Yeah, I'm very open. Well, I have to make sure you will have a lot of pain. Is that a new problem or a solution? No, that's a solution. When I was young, I grew up 3 sisters. And there is, I don't know if they're doing it today, I'm sure today there's modern stuff, but I'm talking about 40 years ago, more. Women have tradition, they used to have old fabric, they put it at some hot sugar or whatever it was, and they remove I don't know if it was wax. I think it was sugar. The pain that I heard. I didn't have any brother, only sister and mother. Okay? So the pain of screaming, you know, and the how, screaming, I guess that was the way. It was huge. But then, and 1 hour later, they drink tea and they talk. There's a conversation. And everything is gone and they're happy. They look good. What am I trying to say, my friend? Do you want to remove the problem in your life? Or do you want to stop the pain? If you on your spiritual journey has one goal, to stop your pain, you've been fooled. You've been so fooled. If your goal of your spiritual journey is just to stop the pain in your life, you're not on a spiritual journey. You're on some self-help, I don't know what to call it, motivational lecture. But if you want to say, hey, listen, I'm doing something wrong in my life. I want to know what am I doing wrong first. Second, I want to have enough power to stop it, and I want to do the right thing. If you are not on that path, which calls spirituality, that's spirituality, by the way, then all what you're going to do with spirituality is finding a way to remove pain. People pray to God, how can I move my pain? How can I move my pain? This husband has been married for 32 years. That's a long time. The wife decided no more. Not nice to say it, but I say, good for her. And he wants to kill me because he hired me to help him. And I said to him, is it easy to be with you? Is it easy to be with you? It took me about 5 minutes until he realized he's not an easy guy. I said, do you want to be likable? Or do you want the pain to stop by her coming back to you? What do you want? Do you want to change a bit? To be better than what you are? Or you just want to be likable? That she need to change it. She changed. She can't take it anymore. She can't. She had enough. Nobody like you. They like your money. You're rich. God bless you and everything. You give enough money for people to have everything they want in life. But you're not the person people want to be with. They like your money because the money doesn't have any religion. The money doesn't have any opinion. I can buy with the same money you give me something that you actually don't like, even if it's your money. He woke up. He's lucky. Not everybody wake up. He woke up. And he's working himself. He's crying every day. And I love him so much. And he cannot even believe how much I love him. And the reason I love him, because he found his own Pharaoh. He found the Pharaoh. He found that evil side of him convinced him to do wrong thing all day long. And it wasn't him, because he's such a control freak. And he could not believe that it wasn't him who told himself to do the wrong thing he did. He's just, oh my God. I thought I'm the boss of everything. I said, no, it's not you. When a person goes to hell, that evil side has to be removed. How attached I am to my evil side. How friendly I am with my evil side. Are you good friend? Are you buddy? Are you kind of knowing each other? I know, you know each other. Sometimes get me, sometimes I get him. Bad time, good time. That's how painful the change will be. Tell us, Dari. Hell is not a painful place. Hell is relative to what you think about your negativity. If by age 40, we usually say 42, the beginning of the spiritual change of every human being. If by age 42, a person doesn't know what they need to change, it might be a little bit late. Might be a little bit late. Because that means the evil side took over. And if you want to start tonight, never too late. Take a piece of paper tonight when you go home. Say, what is my problem? Not where is my pain? What is my problem? Am I jealous? Am I angry? One of the greatest books, it might be a little difficult to read it alone, but I recommend it, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lotzato, the Ramchal, Path of the Just, or any book that talk about how to behave better in life. Or if you want to do something that I did, which might be difficult, I did two things. I grew up a group of men who know me very well. I sit in the middle of the room. And I make sure I brought people who are not my friend as well. And I say, hit me with everything that's wrong with me. The best therapy you can do for free. They hit you with everything. Another idea that I do with people is you take your best people who know you, include family, and you ask them to tell about you 5 things great about you and 5 things terrible about you. And let them write it down to you. I'm telling you, it will be a lot of repetition in the bad part. Control, 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 control. Okay. Why you tell them then to do the good thing? Because it's hiding this way, you know? They don't feel that bad to crush you. Try that. That's worked 100%. Not 90, 100%. Many of my people who came here did it, and it's so beautiful. So again, Mazot asita lanu lotzianu mitzrayim. Remember, they ask, why you took us out of Egypt? There is not enough grave in Egypt. Shu mitzrayim yotev tov lanu baguf. So what happened? Once the pain begin, and in hell, they try to remove your evil side. Remember, the evil friend is not you. The evil friend, they try to take him away from you. What do you say? It's so much pain. I don't want that pain. What do you want? I want to go back. I want to go back, get friendly with that evil side. And Moses, who's there, is the good inclination, telling you, no. This is the guy who caused you the whole problem. I said, I can't let him go. I can't. I know evil, I live evil, that's all what I know. But Moses say, this pain will not be for too long. After that pain is going to go away, you will be free, you will be real freedom. Freedom was not to get out of Egypt. Freedom was to get Egypt out of you. That was the freedom. People think, I'm out of Egypt, I'm free. No, you're not. No, you're not. I had a wonderful human being that I know, a friend, from Florida, and he overcome heroin, which is one of the toughest drugs. So because I was working in rehab, I met him, and I had a party in my house in Florida. So invite everybody, and he came as well with his friend. But the type of friend he come with, you know, after people finish rehab, they have the same friend from before. It's not same style, not that I'm judging anybody, but I remember that the people who were in the room were scared that this is people who came to the wrong party, if you know what I'm saying. So it looked like, you know, 5 gang members come to rob the entire place and take it with them. And they looking, you see, they are with the drink and they stop. And they look at the people coming in. And then until they didn't see me hug him, they couldn't relax. Say, buddy, I hug him. And they look and say, yeah, who's that? Worry about it, don't worry. And before I invite him to the party, I say it will be alcohol there. You know, we're drinking scotch, we're drinking drink, vodka. Are you still okay? I say, I'm okay. I overcome my demon. That's what he said to me. My demon is no longer inside. So it doesn't matter what alcohol you show me. Actually, you should show me as much as alcohol as you want. Because I need to see if my demon come to visit. Sometimes because when my demon come to visit, I have to tell him, we're no longer friends, remember? Get out. He teach me that lesson. He teach me that lesson. He said, I just want a glass of milk or a glass of water. I would be a very happy person tonight. And he was. And he was. And his friend and him clean after. They said, we're not leaving a party until we clean the whole thing. And I'm looking. I said, wow. I'm looking up to that guy. I said, oh, my God. We're still in touch. I'm going to see him next week. So I said, wow. You are the example. And the idea, my dear friend, Dari continued and say, when we going to that hell, not just up there at hell, sometimes you're going to life hell. Sometimes things going terrible for you. Do you feel that pain that you're going through is actually a removal of that evil side of you? Or you just try to find a way to stop the pain? And he continued, Chadal memenu v'navdait Mitzrayim, let us worship Egypt. Let us go back to that evil. ונשתעבד תחד יצר הרע בעולם הזה. Let us go do the same thing. ולא היינו סובלים אלו הדינים. Why do I need to suffer? כי טוב לנו עבוד את מצרים ממותנו במדבר. It's better to go back to Egypt, better go to evil, better to do the negativity than die here in the desert. Mitzvah. For that reason, wicked people always want to live longer. And righteous people don't care to die tomorrow. Because for them, they know that every day that they're staying here, the test might become worse. And they're afraid not to pass the test. So if they pass the test, they are 65, and they pass the test, they're doing really great. They're afraid maybe with 65 in a day, they might do a mistake. So they say, please God, I think it's time. That's what it says. And umeshiv Moshe shu hayetzer hatov. And Moses answered them, אל תיראו מן העונש הזה מפני שהוא לטובתכם. Don't worry about what you're going through right now. It's only good for you. ולהסיר מנפשותכם המזיקים ולהצילה מדין. גיהנום. Those pain, those problems you're going in this life or in the upper life is only to remove the negativity. The reason you still feel pain is almost when somebody gets stuck to your skin. You know, like if you ever try to eat candy and somehow the wrapping is attached to your skin and you try to remove it, how painful it is. It's like the lady, I mean, in my house, my sister tried to remove their hair with that sugar thing or wax or whatever you want to call it. How painful it is, right? It's so much pain because it's attached to your existence. But in the moment that you look at that pain and say, ah, Baruch Hashem, you know, thank God. Thank you, God, for bringing the wrong people in my life. Thank you, God, for bringing the wrong situation in my life. Thank you, God, for bringing all this chaos in my life. This chaos is just to take the wrong friend away from me because that wrong friend is so attached to me, I don't know what to do anymore. So you break that negativity. I feel pain. The reason I feel pain, because I'm in pain. But that pain is what? Is actually taking away that wrong friend. We don't look at pain like that. That's why there is pain management all the time. Every little pain you have, my friend. Every little pain. You know, there is a rabbi, they call him Degel Machaneh Ephraim. They used to call him one of the Messiah. He's the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And he writes, why people have pain? He said, you know, in the moment you have pain, you have to stop for a second. And you are the one at that moment who's taking care of that specific pain in the world. You are becoming the manager of that pain in the world. All what you're going to do is pray. Not to remove your pain, to remove anybody else who have that type of pain that you have. That's what Degel Machaneh Ephraim says. So beautiful. I love that. I just love that. Let me continue. Okay. So far you're doing good. I look at your face, you're doing wonderful. No, that's good, that's good, that's good. It's not easy. It's an intellectual and it's tough. Now, when they look at the sea, what happened? They see all the Egyptians die. They see Pharaoh die. That means after a hard work of spirituality, not that gets you the result of removing the pain. I want to make sure it's clear. Most people practice spirituality to make their life better, improving people's life. Don't practice spirituality for that reason. Practice spirituality so you can win the evil inside. So when you see the Egyptian or the Pharaoh or the evil side of you die, you can believe, you can actually believe that that thing that convinced you to do all the bad thing is no longer a grip, no longer hold you back from your spiritual growth. And that's a celebration. For that reason, after that, it's called Az Yashir. After this, they start singing. And what they call that song, Az Yashir. Az means then they will sing. It's a weird song. It was written 3,400 years ago, but the song say, then they will sing. No, they sang. No, they will sing. Meaning it's for each and every one of us. When you beat up your own negativity, say, no more jealousy. Can you imagine a jealous person who's no longer going to be jealous? Do you imagine an angry person who's not going to get angry? Can you imagine a person who steals all day long and one day stops stealing? That feeling is freedom. It's like, I don't have the need anymore. I'm so glad. Can you imagine a person who has to speak bad about people, stop speaking bad about people? So you see the side of you, the tempting you, is no longer there. It's gone. What's happening there? It's good? Huh? We lost the connection? You good? All right. So now, when it say that after they get out of the sea, they start complaining, and Moses, they were looking for water, meaning the water is basically Torah, spirituality. And when it say that they were looking for water, they were looking in the upper world, the only food that you have, and you need food, by the way. I thought we don't need food, but you need food in the upper world. There's no sandwiches. The Torah that you study, and everybody should take on themselves to study 5 minutes at the same time, at least 5 minutes minimum. Better to do 45 minutes, but 5 minutes, same time every day. I do it, you should do it, my children do it, you should do it. You know, 5 minutes a day, it's not a big deal. Stop, study. And when you study 5 minutes a day, that's the food that you take with you to the upper world. What about doing good things, giving charity, doing wonderful things, helping people? It's not going to give you food. That's the bad news, my friend. You can give as much as charity as you want, help as many people as you want, be kind. That gives you something called clothing, levushim. And the clothing do two things. Make sure you don't go naked in the upper world, okay? I mean, maybe there is a nude beach, so you will fit somewhere. And second thing with the clothing, it becomes like a basket to receive the spiritual manna. What is the spiritual manna? Which is written also in this week portion. Is all the spiritual food that you accomplish in this life is waiting for you there. So when you're going from hell to the Garden of Eden, you need food. It's like here, it's physical, it feels physical. But the food you have is only the spiritual you study that you did. For example, now you just get yourself a sandwich. But it's not enough. One sandwich for 3 days. Not enough. 3 days is the minimum time of with all the help. Because if we study certain righteous like Rabbi Shimon or Dari, it's written that they are the one who come to the river and take you out from there. And I wrote to myself, all the food that you are eating, meaning all the Torah that you study, is that you can survive. You can survive in the upper world. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who both started spirituality when they were 40, was crying before they died. They were crying, say, God, the first 40 years of my life, I didn't even study anything. What am I doing now? If they cry, what should we do? You know, all what we have to do is taking care of our future. The real investment is your future, my friend. It's not if you pay the mortgage or buy another house. Invest in your future. Life don't end when you die. Life begins when you die. Exactly in the day, next hour after a person is died, the beginning of life begins. I mean, I gave my dear friend to read a book so he will really understand what's going on. It's by a rabbi that lives in Iraq. So he told me, you give me that book so I will be scared so I cannot sleep at night. I said, no, I want to become more knowledgeable that this life is just a visit. So there is a book about the rabbi who actually talk to the dead people exactly what's going on to the details. So again, what is the solution? What is the solution? So it's saying, there is a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Bunam Mefeshiske. Feshiske is a city in Eastern Europe. Feshiske, if I'm saying it correctly. He writes that spirituality is a wonderful thing, but it's not enough. So what's it's enough? If you read the portion, it say that Moses saw that the water was bitter for the people, meaning the study that they did, water, the studies, the Torah, are bitter. It say, Vayashlech etz. He took a piece of tree and he threw it into the water and the water becomes sweet. The word etz or the word tree in Hebrew is come from the same word as etza. Etza means advice. He came up with an advice that there is two things a human being need to do while they are alive. You have to sit once a day. Once a day. Find the time. Remember, once a day you study, once a day you sit with yourself. And you have to be sorry for the wrongdoing you're doing. Some of us cannot stop the wrongdoing, but be sorry that you are doing it. Cry even, alone. Be alone when you do it. Sit and cry. Second thing, you have to feel bitter about it. 5 minutes a day, sit with yourself. Don't talk to anybody, no phone call. And basically, feel that what you're doing is wrong. Second thing, feel bitter about it. At that moment that you are doing it, slowly, slowly, angels will start to guide you. You will start getting a lot of great idea what is that you need to change. Because most of us are great of changing the world. We're writing books about how to change the world. We're putting posts on Facebook and Instagram what need to be better. we are blaming this president and the last president, and we're blaming this group of people and that group of people. But there is nothing to worry about beside one thing, my friend. One thing, one single thing. There is something about me. There is something about me. There is this evil inclination about me that don't allow me to be as good as I need to be. I would like just to read the last section. No, you gotta go. You have 2 minutes? 2 minutes? Just 2 minutes. Last section of the Zohar, and then I'll let you go. I want to talk more, but, you know. Yes.
At that moment, Moses said to the Holy One, blessed be He, your children, because of their great longing to perceive you, do not want to travel from the sea. What did the Holy One, blessed be He, do? He concealed His glory out of the wilderness, and there He appeared, yet did not appear. Moses said to Israel, many times have I said that you should travel from there, but you did not want to until I showed you the splendor of the glory of the Holy One, blessed be He. In the wilderness, they were immediately desirous.
So last one, last, yep, but?
Oh, but they did not travel until Moses grasped them and showed them the radiant shine of the glory of the Holy One, blessed be He, in the wilderness. Then, because of great longing and desire to perceive, Moses caused them to travel. This is what is meant by, so Moses brought Israel from the Sea of Reeds, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur. What is the meaning of the wilderness of Shur? This was the desert where they wanted to perceive and gaze upon the precious splendor of the Holy King. Therefore, it is called the wilderness of Shur, which means there is gazing there.
So, while they are in the sea, they didn't want to move on. Once you remove the negativity, you don't want to move on, but there is more to come. Removing negativity is not the goal. It's the process, the beginning. Don't you want to meet God after that? Now, you're ready for the real life. A lot of time, we are busy working on ourselves. You heard those people who are too spiritual? What are you doing? I'm working on myself. What's come after? Working on myself. I'm busy. I can't talk to anybody now. I need help from you. Now I'm working on myself. We have a goal. Working on yourself is because I was a bad boy before. So I need to work on my jealousy. I need to work on my anger. I need to work on my stealing opinion of people so they will love me. Once I work on that, remove the yetzer hara, now I'm ready to meet the glory of the divine, the creator, and everything else. That's what life is all about, my friend. In this week, parasha, which is Bashalach, it's all about traveling. Because it doesn't talk, Rabbi Isaac Kruger said, it doesn't talk about traveling of the Israelites. It doesn't talk about Pharaoh in Egypt, it talks about us. The traveling. What you're going to get this Saturday morning, when we're going to read the scroll, you're going to get dealing with every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life that is stuck. Not pain that's stuck. Problem that's stuck. Pain, it means it starts to get better. You're actually willing to let it go. But if you come Saturday morning to connect, I'm here to remove the pain I have. Go to the doctor. You're in the wrong place. But if you come here to say, I want to work on something, and I know if I work on that, the pain will come. Now you understand what the Israelites said. Why didn't we stay in Egypt? In Egypt was no pain. Now when we start working on ourselves, there is pain, a lot of pain, a lot of tears. Who need that? First time I worked with a trainer was a gift from somebody who thought I'm fat. I was fat. I'm still a little fatty. So I remember he came to me and said to me, I give you 5 sessions for free. And I remember I said to my wife, I'm going to suffer and somebody actually paid for it. I can't believe that. So they sent me to a place where there is professional trainer. I don't know if you ever saw a place like that. There is actually, it's not a gym. It's not a gym. It's a, I don't know what it, you come and the trainer take you, basically. But the people are big there. The trainer are, you know, either bodybuilder or either fighter. It's a serious thing. So I'm coming in. And you know that, you know when you not belong, when you feel not belonging, looking around, and there is all kind of machine that I never saw in my life before, like opening the leg, lifting the knee, like that up. And I'm I'm looking. And I see that the coach said, you do good. And he said, it's only 29 minutes. So 29, I can do 29 minutes. No, 29. You know? And I worked with him. It was very difficult. I hate him. I hate the place. I went back. My wife said, how was it? Is it helping you? So I don't think it helped me. I think it's a waste of time. You know, I don't see the point. So I went again. I suffer again. And then I tell him, I don't think I want you as a coach. So he get me a girl. I say, oh, girl, will be the easiest. Ah, I got the right one. So he get me a girl. And that was the nightmare. That was actually, I couldn't walk. No, it was really, really bad. And you hate them. You hate the pain. You hate the place. But it make you understand now spirituality. We want to get rid of the people who caused me pain. But I'm not trying to get rid of my fat. I'm not trying to get rid of my addiction to food or whatever it is. We are not getting rid of the problem internally. And that's why we hate everything that caused me the pain. But those things that cause you the pain, remember what you said in the beginning of the class? I asked you about Pharaoh. Now I want you to adopt it. Remember what you say? Oh, you were so nice and spiritual. You say, God told Pharaoh to do that. Okay. So your little Pharaoh, your little enemy, your little person who make your life miserable, you say it, I didn't say it, your little Pharaoh. Now, let's see if you tomorrow or tonight, your little Pharaoh, somebody on the highway the wrong way, or drive the wrong, who coming in front of you, that's your Pharaoh now. What do? You have internal Pharaoh who telling you, shame on that guy. No. There is a moment now in your life that's giving you a chance to grow and get rid of the real demon inside, not to get rid of the pain. Because the pain itself is the cure for the demon to go away. My dear friend, may this week will be a greatest journey of your life. And may this week prepare you for the real journey in the upper world. Thank you and have a great night. Thank you. Amen.